the agenda. The revised agenda. Any comments?
Oh, sorry, it's right up here. We have other stuff.
I think I need to revise.
I'll get it, Joe. Did you get any of this?
I need a cookie.
You need a cookie. Did everybody else have one? It might get warm in here. If it does, we can turn the air back on. It's so noisy with the air, so it's kind of a one or the other.
I said I wanted to bring the grandkids along and just watch all this dirt removal out here. The big hole.
A bigger hole a few days ago. Yesterday it smelled like a campground because we had they burned it the other night. And I was in my office yesterday and the wind must have shifted. I'm like, you smell something burning? And then I'm like, oh, wait.
Do I have an approval of the amended agenda?
So moved. Second.
Dan, second by. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those passed. Okay, approval of the minutes.
Yeah. We got people working themselves right and left with that.
Approval of the minutes.
Yeah, so moved.
I'll second.
And Dan and Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Passed. Public comment.
I would like to let the board know that our bus driver, Randy Stojan, passed away over the weekend. He had a brief illness. He got sick last month around 4th of July and ended up hospitalized the last couple of weeks. And I think last week they diagnosed him with cancer and passed away by then Saturday. So we were quite shocked. Yeah, it was very, very, very sad. So his wake is today from 4 to 7 at Melby Funeral Home in Platteville. So we'll be going to that. He was just a fabulous, fabulous guy with the elderly and disabled. And he just said the writers loved him. They just, he had a real connection and to them. And he'd been employed here, I think, what is it, 15 years?
Said 18.
Yeah, 18. Yeah. Can't do my math today, so that's probably right. We are just at a loss. So he's going to be really, really, yes, really missed.
My wife said that as well. You know, she subs part-time, yes, in Fenimore and Boscobel, yes, at the mill site, and she said he was just fantastic with people.
He is. Great. And he knew everything. I mean, he knew about their families. He just knew, you know, and he was just a great guy. He was usually my last contact at the end of the day because he'd come in and he'd always say, in fact, he always said to me, you know, Laurie, if you stay here long enough, you're going to like it.
Encouraging.
He'd always give me crap for working too late. And he was a Bears fan and I was a Packer fan. And of course,
I like him already.
Usually I won on that, though. So. Although he wasn't a Jay Cutler fan, so, yeah. He was a Cubbies fan, though, so I said I'd root for the Cubbies. I couldn't root for a Bears ever, but. I did tell him, however, that Jay Cutler was probably the biggest asset the Packers had, so as far as playing the Bears. No.
Any other public comments? Other than, is this where you talk about Castle and how
I can. We did, emergency management did contact us. They were called out, obviously, in the middle of the night because of flooding. And I believe, like you said, with the bridge going out, I believe our own emergency management truck got through on the way to Potosi to Cassville just before that road washed out. Steve said it was
about 81.
Yeah, it was just a matter of time before they went through, after they went through. We had a little difficulty getting there. We had to take a few alternate routes. as well. But Dave was there, I was there, and Ruth was there. Mariah actually stayed back and took some phone calls at the emergency management office because Steve was short-handed with Tanya being away at a wedding. So Mariah did fill in as well, and then a couple volunteers he had there. So basically our role in these is when we have seniors involved is to help them, you know, find resources. And we did have quite a few seniors, I would say seniors and disabled families. That was kind of what most of them were. We had a lot of medication problems because people's medication got wet, floated away, you know, and then vehicle issues. They didn't have transportation. Obviously, they couldn't stay in their housing, so there were housing issues.
Couple of them with CPAP machines, last year CPAP machines.
Yeah.
Had to get those.
Yeah.
Was electricity off too?
They showed them I had to, yeah.
They had, yeah. They had literally had propane tanks, what, six?
Floating.
Six, like, propane.
12.
Tanks. Was it 12?
Yeah,
it
ended up being 12 that
oh
floated.
Gosh.
And they had to shut those off, find them and shut them off because they were leaking. So.
Yeah.
Do you ever call anybody on the board like that to come help?
We,
or
well, Steve has his own committee, so I don't know. Dan, you don't happen to sit on his committee,
no,
do you? I don't know. Greg, do you?
No.
Okay. I don't know how that works with his committee. I know just typically, literally at the time that we met in the morning, I mean, Steve had literally been up all night, so because he was helping out with Swiftwater Rescue, so he didn't really know what we were going to need down there either. So we just kind of went and played it by ear and then determined afterwards. And actually, the first day, people were still just kind of dealing with the trauma of it all and trying to figure stuff out. We were probably actually busier the second day,
yeah,
with people actually coming in needing resources. And then Monday, again. So what we try to do is we try to kind of take some damage estimates. That helps emergency management out. Helps kind of help them get funds too and estimate the damage. But it also, by taking a damage estimate, then it kind of helps us realize, you know, what's happened to them, and then we can ask some further questions as to, you know, what they may have lost. And, you know, and then obviously, like we said, we found out that there were, you know, CPAP machines and medicine, and some people were diabetic, and, you know, so there was some pretty significant needs. And most people didn't have. I mean, they pretty much lost because it was the ones that went through. It went through their first floors,
right.
So they didn't have much of anything. So Red Cross did come in, set up a shelter. We did have some people
right
over there. The fire department, Cassville Fire Department, just
fantastic.
Worked. I mean, they
pumping
just worked.
People's basements out and all the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was. Same thing in Bosqueville that we saw. I mean, the community really comes together. I just, like I said, I was so highly impressed with the fire department chief and the village president. I mean, the two of them look like they've just been through the ringer.
Right, yeah.
But they just kept helping people. So I think from here on out, like I said, we come in and we do the initial, and then, you know, basically emergency management then hires Dave then to be a case manager, because a lot of this stuff takes time. You can't just there's applications to be filled out for these people, there's things to do. I mean, even on Monday, you didn't have everybody, and
right,
there were still people in
there's
the shelter.
Still people coming in.
So how did you get contacted, Dave?
Steve did this with the Bosqueville flood in 2013 and then tornado down in Platteville in 2014. As case manager, he'd had someone doing case management, and he got offered a position, and they just took it right away, and he was left without anybody. And Ed Ross knew I had retired, so Ed had him contact me, and so I just help out whenever they have something like that going on.
Well, good.
Do case management, but yeah, it's a couple of 3 months or longer that you're still working with the families dealing with stuff. So.
And it really, I think that is a really nice piece of it, because they really are kind of overwhelmed and they don't, you know. It's
just that support. A lot of it just emotional support.
Yeah.
That someone's there that you talk to and that.
Yeah. So.
Now, does the clergy get involved?
We've had some glitch involved.
Yes.
There's Mary Perkins with the River Valley Community Church or something. She's been great helping with some.
Mary Perkins. Pastor Perkins.
The interesting thing was is we ended up with a National Red Cross team, which is unusual. And
yeah.
They knew what to do on that.
Because of the it was flooding over in, where was it?
This is over towards Kenosha, Racine, and
yeah.
area too.
Burlington. They had gotten called into Burlington, and because they were already in Wisconsin, then they called them over to Cassville. So we had people from all over the country at the shelter.
Yeah. Yeah, they came from California and Florida and wherever else it was.
Yeah. But.
Oh, that's great.
Did you have sites where you could relocate them in Cassville, you know, like the churches?
We did have a shelter. The high school was used as a shelter, and Red Cross did put up a shelter there. The fire station had constant food for families all weekend long.
Food, water, and everything.
Yeah, and usually Red Cross does bring in the flood cleaning kits, too, although most of those homes were beyond a little flood kit. I mean, you know, but, I mean, they literally had to be pumped out by the fire departments. And, I mean, some of the homes will be saved. I think a good four or five of them would.
Five or six of them were total. Were they just going to tear them down?
Yeah. I mean, a few of them were literally off the foundation.
Yeah. But. Some had damage to the walls and that stuff, and they'll have to replace the walls on the houses. I mean, they're still habitable, still live in them, but you're going to have to replace some of the walls and that stuff. But with the emergency management, they closed a shelter, I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday, because they didn't want to keep it open forever and ever. Then we had to find other housing, at least temporarily, for these people until we get permanent housing.
There was an apartment complex in town that the elderly couple
went
got into
that.
Right away, which was good.
And then we did find a house to rent for the family. They had the two children, and another gentleman found an apartment for him. And
Our dining site. Our senior dining site is just kind of where we met. And,
right.
And, you know, people, even like I was thinking of the elderly couple, they came back like probably five or six times while I was there. Just it, and not because there was any more that we could do, I think it was just somewhere to go, and then they could, you know, just get a little bit more information or just kind of be retold. I mean, it was just like a comfort level for them to kind of be around.
Well, I don't know how if any of us would react if all of a sudden everything you have is gone.
Mm-hmm. It's
gone. Absolutely gone.
So,
and this elderly couple had a really good family. They had a daughter that brought a car up from Monroe. They got at least temporarily used couches and beds and stuff for them to use until they replace those and stuff like that. So families helped out too, as well as everybody else.
The one thing that I will share you with it that made me very sad was, and we didn't find that out I think until Sunday, was a man who I think he might be a single parent, but I don't quote me on that. But I know he's got some. I think high school age children. Anyway, he had lost his belongings in a fire. They had posters all over town for this benefit for him because he lost his belongings in a fire. Well, what he had managed to get out of the house from the fire, he had put in his mother's house in kind of this lower level, and that's that part of her house flooded.
So they lost what they recovered from the fire.
So what he got managed to get out of the fire, he lost in the flood.
Yeah.
And I was like,
wow.
How can you?
Yeah.
That just had to have been devastating. So, but I mean, again, that community—it's
really
always very
together.
Heartwarming
yeah.
to see that those communities come together. So, and we learn every time. I think we get a little better adept at figuring out what we need. And Ruth and I have been talking. We're going to have some kind of boxes ready to go on resources that we need, so that we're not scrambling. We can just grab a box and go. And we thought too, Dave, we might get some kind of identification.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, other than our county badges, and people get a little leery of, you know, especially if you're out and about and you're trying to, you know, get to people who haven't. The nice thing was is Schmitz upstairs from social services. She'd actually had some flooding the weekend before, and so she was she was really very good because she knew of people's homes that hadn't been in but had damage, and so she kind of touched base with them and said, you know, you might want to stop by. And so she got a, and the elderly woman whose son's belongings were in her house, she just was too traumatized. She didn't want to leave her house, but she wanted somebody to come to her, and so we wouldn't have known that without Jen. So we were able to go there, and Ruth met with her and went through that too. So yeah, it's always very emotional, and it's just
sure.
Dave and I were exhausted. We didn't do a thing. I mean,
Ruth did a great job taking a lot of information and stuff.
She really does.
I think just being there is probably emotional,
really
seeing what these people are going through.
Yeah.
The other public comment I got is that the Living Well with Chronic Disease through the ADRC and the hospital starts September 7th. Goes into October. I don't have the date, but Missy and I will be doing that. So if you know of anybody who you think would respond to that, it's going to be held in the third floor of our city hall. And there's an elevator, so anybody that, you know, wants to...
I thought you were going
to
say third floor of the admin building.
Well, we can push things aside. So it's an interesting program. It runs 6 weeks. I think there was some advertising out.
There is,
so,
yes, and we'll get it. Yeah, it's going to go out on social media.
And I haven't talked to Missy to see if anybody's signed up for it yet or not. But any other public comments that you know of? Or communications? Nothing. Hearing none, let's go on to 6, the advocacy report from the ADRC regional board meeting.
Vicky or Joe?
I wasn't really sure how to do that. I took notes, but
you
I'm
can
not
just
sure
hit that.
How good they are. So on Wednesday, the 6th of September, there's a dementia virtual tour in Lafayette, their cookout. University of Iowa is possibly doing a research study on caregivers of people with dementia. Let's see. The IRIS consulting agency, they talked about My Choice, managed care, advocates for you. I did a lot of learning there. It was my first time there.
Yeah, all those acronyms, right? We have a new managed care organization coming in called My Choice. So they're like a continuous of Care Wisconsin. And then we have a new IRIS agency, which is the self-directed, coming in, which is called Advocates for You out of Milwaukee.
So we're going to have 4?
We will have 3 managed care organizations, which do long-term care, and then we'll have 2 of the self-directed IRIS.
Okay.
So for example, TMG is the current one, and I utilize them. So that I don't have to go anywhere, stay home.
Yep. We have had no communication from Advocates for You, though, and they're supposed to be moving in, like, into the area now. And
you don't know where they're moving into.
We've not heard from them at all, so you think they might
maybe that big hole on there.
And then those, who would give out the information on that? Would that be, like, Leisha or...
our information assistance people would, yes.
Yeah. They have to receive the information to disseminate it, though.
Yes, and we'll get something from the state that will give us the information, because the state actually oversees those agencies as well, and they usually give us the handouts. But typically a new agency that's coming into our area makes contact with all the local offices and meets staff just to get names and faces, and they might, yeah.
Yeah. there's a lot of informational gathering that has to be done at the regional level. So in order to facilitate that, they talked about what we are moving the regional board meetings from one county to the other over the next 4 months, and setting the time at 5 o'clock and having an open session so people can actually come and make it to those and gather information.
And I do have a little flyer on that, so.
Okay. The first county will be Grant, second county will be Greene, then Iowa, and then we'll come back to Lafayette County and continue from Lafayette back to Arlington. We did talk about having two or three members at various individual events, smaller events that are already going on, and maybe having like a list put together of the events in the various counties and having some sign-ups for people to actually go there and having a questionnaire and maybe a small sheet of questions that the individuals from the board can actually ask to further gather information as they go. As a secondary option, rather than just having the big open formal event, because you're going to have a lot more people going to the smaller things, we think. Or you're going to try and capture both sides. People will go to one and not the other, and that kind of stuff. And there are already some events, like there's an aging and disability event that was planned or is going to happen.
We have Elder Fest, a senior health fair in October.
Types of things, you'll gather certain populations, and gather that information from them. So, let's see. There was advocacy stuff talked about, but I didn't gather a bunch of information. That was one of my learning. I couldn't type fast enough.
Well, I think right now we don't. You know, there isn't anything up with. No problem. Your act
no problem.
To advocate for. We don't know anything yet, so we don't. Can't have problems with what you don't know. That's right. You can't have problems with what you don't know.
And then we had the local office updates. Grant County was horrible.
You're off the board, Joe.
They have new buildings going up in Greene County. About budget and so on, Iowa.
We laugh because they're dynamiting in Greene County, and it's soupiness over here, and they're dynamiting over there. So,
there you have a new INA specialist in Lafayette. What is that again? INA?
It's a information and assistance specialist.
Okay.
They're kind of our front line.
I understood it when I wrote it down, but now I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I have.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing is going to be the information gathering and moving things around.
Any takers on our Alzheimer's individual?
Mary did open that up one more time for applications because we just hadn't drawn very many applications. So the application period, I think, is through next week. And then we're tentatively looking at interviews, like, I think, the 1st. Or somewhere down that. I don't know if we have those actually scheduled out yet, but we're hoping to have somebody on board by September.
She did so well. You know, the position to go.
I know. We definitely do not.
They wrote their floats for her on the 1st.
What's that?
I wrote that down. Prepare floats for Whitney at 11 a.m.
Well, there you go.
On the 1st.
Yep, they did have a little send-off for her, and she is now in Montana, so...
Thank goodness.
Good for her.
She'll be missed.
She was incredibly capable.
Anything else there with the regional board? You found the networking kind of interesting?
Oh, definitely. Lot to suck up.
It is, and the acronyms do get a little confusing. So you know, always ask because I know. When I came here, too, it probably took me over a year before I started figuring out what everything was.
Would you prefer like something typed up and sent out so that people can have a copy of it, or was this fine?
It's been verbal.
That's fine. You're great.
All right, hearing nothing else there, we'll go on to public hearing comments.
All right, we did have a public hearing on the 10th. We did not have any participants, which isn't terribly unusual. We did get some questionnaire surveys are sent out. We sent them out to the meal sites, and I think we did get about 8 or 10 of those back, which basically just called to continue the aging programs and increase. They didn't have any real significant means that they presented other than they just wanted our services to continue. So, however, it's just not typical that we get people for the public hearing, and with all the road construction going on, I figured we probably wouldn't get a whole lot. But, however, we are going to use some of the information gathering, like from here, and some of the other things that we're doing as we look at the future too. So I think we'll get better comments through here and at some of our, the senior health fair, and those types of things. So we also are going to be at the fair, so I think we're going to try to get some little, just have somebody fill out something brief if they want, if they want to give away, they have to answer questions.
Well, that's always a good idea, really.
Everybody likes a giveaway. They'll answer.
Exactly.
They'll answer a question. How bad do you want that? You usually get hand sanitizer.
We have pretty good giveaways, too.
Yeah, if we do some real high-end ones.
Really dirty. You might want
that. Answer three. You might get a mug.
Anything else on the public hearing comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to 8, appointment of the Nutrition Council.
Yeah, we have Jan Litvent has been our board member to the Nutrition Council, and of course Jan's no longer.
How often do they meet?
Quarterly, and typically three of them are here. The December one we usually do a phone conference with, since road conditions are sometimes iffy. So,
is there someone who has an interest in that, right? Where is this?
It's usually here. And it's required that we have one. And so it's made up of participants at the various meal sites, and then anybody else who has an interest in nutrition. So we typically sometimes have extension here because they do some nutrition education for us. Who else? So. They're to make suggestions on the nutrition, program.
They don't menus. Plan.
They don't plan the menus.
Right.
They make comments on the menus.
So in other words, are you saying we have to eat there?
Are they solicited?
We have comment cards at all the dining sites all the time.
So you
we constantly get comments on the menus, but yes. We have a couple that, for every one meal that somebody really likes, somebody else really hates it, even in a small group of 8.
Well, that makes us different.
Yes.
I mean, I guess
for every living in
anybody else interested? I'm always interested in food.
We love that. Yeah.
Anytime.
And part of that, too, Joe's going to be talking a little later on down the line, but we need to do some, we want to do some strategic planning with nutrition.
Well,
so,
that's what I was looking
at. So that
at.
Council will be a part of that, too. We'll pull some members off of that, so to form a committee to do some planning. So
I have an overwhelming response.
It sounds wonderful, but I just can't.
I think that is something a quarterly. If we can go ahead,
okay.
That doesn't mean I still won't be traveling. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to officially appoint someone?
I guess me.
I make a motion to appoint.
Becky made a motion. Joe seconds.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're all just breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah. Everybody. I noticed that. Do you notice all the eyes go down?
Please don't make me be on another committee.
That's all right.
A little bit right now, too.
Hearing that, we'll go on to 9 with the transportation.
We do this. We usually do transportation resolutions for our two main funding sources. 8521 funds our busing, our TRIPS program, which is our volunteer driver escort program. It funds part of our taxi, and our specialized, which is just our wheelchair transport van. So we usually do ask the board, usually this committee here signs a resolution and then forwards it to the Board of Supervisors, to which then they approve or deny applying for the grant. So by you approving it, they will usually go on your recommendation. The other one is the 8520-5311, and that funds our taxi, the other part of our taxi, Grant County Taxi, and it also funds the Dodgeville Taxi. That being said, the Dodgeville, so this will be for 2018. I think in the future we will have some discussion on the Dodgeville Taxi. In order for Iowa County to apply for any type of funding that would take over the Dodgeville Taxi, they would have to send a letter of intent, I think, by the end of this year. It would be for 19, not 18. So I think that's a discussion that maybe might be warranted in the future. We've kind of been tossing it around, batting it around. I don't know how we came about with the Dodgeville Taxi, because I wasn't here, so I don't know how that came to be. But again, I think it's something that we probably need to discuss. I do know that Iowa County is applying for a vehicle grant right now to get a vehicle that would serve Mineral Point and rural Iowa County. So it seems to me if they would get that grant and that vehicle, then maybe they should just be serving all of Iowa County and we would pull out of there. So I don't know what your feelings are on that, but I did check with the state, and I will do a little bit more checking before we do with that, but I don't think it changes necessarily our funding. We have never put any levy into the Dodgeville Taxi, but, you know, it becomes as wages go up and things like that. Now, granted, it's only 2 days a week, but it still becomes, you've got to make sure your revenues match, because we don't want to put levy into it.
Well, I always thought there was a big thing with that, with the collaboration.
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't know how it, I don't know what the parameters were around that, so. I just know it's a little...
They get enough that they could support their own?
I think they should be able to. I mean, if we can, I think they should be able to. I get phone calls, and we've been getting more and more about Mineral Point or about going outside of the city limits, and I just had one yesterday. From a consumer that wondered if we would go outside the city limits, and you know, I basically said no, because we just don't have the capabilities of providing that type of service right now. It would, nor do I think we want to. I don't think we don't want to be spending more time there. You know, if we're there 2 days a week, and I've been asked for more days a week, well, we don't have the revenue to do that, and you know.
Do we or you get any kind of reimbursement from Iowa County?
We do. We get reimbursement not only from Iowa County, but also from the city of Dodgeville. So we do. Actually, all our cities that have taxi services, Lancaster, Boscobel, Fenimore, and Dodgeville, all do provide some level of funding for us. But, you know, it's not significant, because we're drawing down state and federal funds for it. So it's, I think...
How much time do you have to spend personally working?
Well, it's, you know, we have to do quarterly reports. We have to do, there's a fair amount of reporting. You have to, there's a daily transportation report that has to, so between Mariah and I, there is admin time in there. Now, the thing that we have not done in the past that we are doing this year with the budget is allocating some costs. We're gonna do a cost allocation to programs. So
is it on a break even?
We have not had to put any levy into it, and if we did, I think we'd be going to Iowa County and asking for them, not for us, because we're providing services to them. It's just an awkward, I think, situation, because it is so far removed. It's very difficult. Like, if the vehicle breaks down and our driver's only working 2 days a week, well, typically we have the vehicle serviced in Barneville, because they're the closest dealer for the Chrysler and Dodge. And so it's you know, it's ended up on more than one occasion that I've had to run to Dodgeville to take a vehicle in or have somebody get up there. It's just not very...
If I remember right, when that started, there was something from the state wanting collaboration on being able to get the vans and so forth and so on, that you're collaborating with other... towns or whatever you want to call it.
And we're part of a regional transportation team now. But I just think it's, I think if they're going to expand into Iowa County, then they just need to take over all of Iowa County, is my feeling.
I mean, if they have enough need for that, that they can justify it, then
Yeah, and I had spoke with Bob a little bit about it, and he couldn't be here this morning. He had fair and construction meeting going too, and I think he is also in agreement, you know, with it. So Iowa County has not wanted to do it. I'll be honest with you. I spoke with the director of their human services, and you know, he's liking that we're still doing it. But at the time when we lost our driver there, we're trying to advertise and find a driver. It was a nightmare because we were trying to patch drivers together, and it just, it was crazy, you know. And I'm here, so it's not very easy to have somebody fill in. And
so what you're saying at this point, we need to vote on both 9 and 10, correct?
Yes, those are both resolutions. So, so and this resolution will have, like I said, the Iowa County services for this coming year. But I think we need to let them know within a month or two whether we think they need to write a letter of intent. And, I mean, I think we should request it. I think we should tell them by 19 we will probably be out of the taxi business and Iowa County.
That or really making it worth their while.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. It's going to be a revenue generator, not a break even situation.
Yeah.
And so, it'd be, if we can make money doing it, I don't have any problem with it. But I'm not really interested in you spending your time on us breaking even on the thing.
And, and it's not a huge revenue generator. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, that might push them to decide they need to do it themselves if they understand where we're going to come from.
Yeah.
Okay, I will entertain a motion on the Transportation Resolution 8521.
I so move.
Second.
Second. Derek, Greg, any further comments?
I think we should go ahead and move forward with the recommendation to ask them to request their
funding. Can we include that?
I think
even if we still collaborate, having the additional funding will help make things easier.
Since it's not on the agenda, I'll probably put it on maybe October's agenda.
Part of the motion.
Or September's agenda. Yeah. What's that?
Okay. Unless it's part of the motion.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I wonder. Yeah. Can we include that in the motion, or do you think we should revisit it?
I don't care. If you're going to include it in the 50th, in the second one, not the first one.
Oh, that's good.
First one,
don't have to amend that.
First one is Grant. The first one is Grant County Taxi. Right. It gets a little confusing. The first one has
Grant. I had a first by Arnold and a second by Greg. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Now I'll entertain a motion.
This
with possibly the inclusion.
Yeah, I think you can.
We can do that?
At least to.
Joe, you want to do that?
At least to investigate the.
Yeah.
All right, Joe's going to make a motion here.
Motion to include the recommendation for them to request the funding.
Along with the passing resolution for
8520
and 5311. Right here, a second. Dan seconds that. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Hearing none, passed.
I will pass this around if you sign.
There's both of them
got to
sign.
Yes.
Okay. We'll go to 11, strategic planning.
Right, so we are looking to do that with the nutrition program. We've been talking about it for a while, and I think it's time we take some action on it. And our new board member has a history in strategic planning, so I hit him up just as soon as I could.
How quickly could we print a first page off of something and email to you? Would it take too long?
No.
Okay, let me email something to you so I can speak to it, because if I just talk about it, it's going to go over my own head, let alone everybody else's. So I just shot you a file. I want you just the first page printed out for everybody. It's just a picture.
Do you know when the next is there a meeting set for the next nutrition council? Sorry, I'm sorry.
With that look, I'm sorry.
I saw
Yes, but what?
Did you see that book?
I heard it. It was loud.
Yes, but whether I have it written in my calendar is the question.
How far can you roll those eyes?
According to my children, pretty far.
Oh, children, they can go all the way around.
Maybe not set, yes.
I think it is. I just don't think I have it in mind. But I'll check on the main calendar. I'm sure Ruth's got it on there. Okay. She's the one who heads it up, so I...
Ruth does?
Yeah.
There you go, Greg.
October 10th, 9 o'clock, 9:30. Look at that, I did have it.
Oh, my apologies for the wait. Oh. I didn't think to send in the file.
Could we jump down to like credit card requests that real quick?
Sure.
Yeah.
Typically in the past, the admin assistant, I have a credit card, a county credit card as well, and typically we've had the admin assistant have one as well. Because she's usually the one making like lodging reservations for people who have to go to a conference, or many of the conferences we have anymore take a credit card or things like that. Obviously, it has to be approved by me. Nancy as well. Nancy's the one that from finance that handles the credit card. So I am making a request for Brookhart because there are just some days that I'm not available to do that. So, if anyone...
Do you need a motion?
We do need a motion.
Move to get the credit card request for Brookhart.
Dan and Vicki. Any further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 We could
opposed.
Go to position vacancies as well.
Passed.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to
position vacancies. The first one, we do have our Fenimore meal site manager is retiring. December 1st. However, she has about 3 or 4 weeks of vacation to use up, and she is going to use that up prior to the retirement date. So we will need to advertise that fairly soon.
What does a...
Oh, dear.
What are the responsibilities of a meal site?
Of a meal site manager? It is basically to run the meal site, so it's to work with the volunteers to take the food that is delivered, get it in. They have to tempt the food when they get there, get it in the steam table, serve it to the senior dining participants. Also, portion it out for and put it into our containers for our home delivery and coordinate the home delivery to the people in their town as well. Then collect the donations, things like that.
You need one?
Do the reporting for the day. We have to know who was there, if they're over 60, if they're not over 60, if they paid the full price, that sort of thing. It is required. You hear me say that a lot, Dan. But it is required.
And again, I go back to my thoughts on this thing since I've been on this board. Have been that we have the block and mortar buildings with staff people. In my case, I'm thinking of any of the smaller restaurants in the community that would be, rather than having a separate meal site with all of these other people, is it a possibility, or would the, I'm going to use, I'm from Keeler Dickeyville, so Katina's Kitchen in Dickeyville. And if she knew this position was available and if she were to become the meal site manager, that she would have, and my thought process on it was that you would walk in as a customer and there's a voucher menu and a regular menu. And if you are there for the meals, the ADRC piece of it, you would be able to order from the voucher menu, and that would, of course, have less sodium and less deep fat frying and less and all of that kind of thing, but you would be able to. And then you would pay through a voucher system that, in turn, the owner of the restaurant would track and do all of those things, have to be willing to do that, obviously, and then have the revenue and would be the meal site manager, basically.
You and I are in agreement on this. However, the state's not yet And that is the issue that we kind of face with that. The state is still saying even if you have it at a restaurant, you still need a meal site manager there to do something.
I guess I would call upon our elected representatives to explain that to them, and I think just common sense would. And I know that's not very common at the state level.
I agree, and I think part of the strategic planning that we're doing is to try to look and identify maybe some sites that we could. Fenimore is a fairly, because it is at Sunset Fields, it's a fairly significant, one of our bigger sites as far as people coming in and the home delivery. I'm not in disagreement with you, and I think we need to push that. The state hasn't fully approved that voucher system yet, which is very frustrating. And Sarah, who is at the state, who oversees the nutrition program, and I have had many conversations on this. So.
And again, there, if we were to just say, okay, right, and do it, they would pull funding. Is that what happens? Is that how it works?
What do you approve site?
We'd have to do it within their parameters, and it would have to be approved to them before we could even do it.
I just say that because some state agencies that I deal with, they say this is what you need to do, yada yada yada, and then I get the end say, and if we don't, what are you going to do? And they say nothing.
Guess I'm not that big of a
rebel
Wowzer.
Oh, Dan, your true colors are coming out.
I am in some things, but I try not to shake up the funding source too bad.
No, I understand.
I don't
disagree. And the people that I'm dealing with aren't funding it.
The thing, there are such restrictions right now, which I don't agree with necessarily. And I hate to say that because I know you're not supposed to bite the hand that feeds you. But there are restrictions. If we even move the site right now, we have to have approval ahead of time. If we close the site, not only do we have to have a public hearing before we close the site, even if we think it's in our best interest to do so, and have it approved by the state. It's a little crazy.
Yeah, it is. I know we're in agreement on it. Our thought process behind all of that is also, I think it would make it available to a lot more people in that
county. They would utilize it.
If it was, I can go to...
Going in dining out,
I can go to Katina's, and I'm going to be, just using ours as an example, and I asked them, oldest brother and his cohorts in their 80s, why don't you go to the Dickeyville meal site?
With
a bunch
people.
Of old women.
I've heard it from my own parents.
There's seven older ladies that go and
ironically,
to the library.
Ironically, Katina's used to serve, they used to provide the food for the meal site and for the Head Start program back when I was a Head Start director.
And she's not doing all that great financially. It would be a boost.
Would it be lucrative enough for a restaurant to give up their seating?
It's not very lucrative, as Dan and I have also talked about for the restaurant.
Where they could put a customer at that seat the profit's going to be many times more than what the meal site's going to give them. Are they willing to give up their seating? I would think not.
But that assumes they have the volume too.
They're not that crowded. They're not. Unfortunately, she's not that busy. She's hanging by a thread, actually.
So I think this is...
That would generate business. And then again, there would probably be, even in some cases, a caretaker that goes along. You know, I'm happy to take my brother, and he's not going to order the voucher menu, obviously. So. And the other thing that might be handy is there's a salt shaker, a pepper shaker right there.
I think we have those at 2 meals.
And a prescription for extra salt. So.
There you go. Anyway, that's too
bad.
I
think this discussion really shows the fact that that's why we want to get into that strategic planning, so we can look at those obstacles with the state, and a small group of us can actually sit down and say, okay, you know, let's bring in Sarah from and say, how can we make this work out here? What do we need to do, and what happens if we don't?
Yeah, and, and maybe even our elected officials to our assembly, reps or senator could be a part of that discussion with us, and we would they would better understand.
I think that would be great, but I do think, you know, we've got to look. Because Grant County is so large, I think we've probably, I haven't actually, some data that I wanted to pull, that I thought we could pull for strategic planning, would be to look at some of the various counties, because I think we're one of the counties in the state that has as many meal sites as we do. I know we do a fantastic number of meals. Sometimes we think we don't in some sites, and then I look at what other counties are doing, and I'm thinking. So the other thing, you know, you and I have had this discussion too, is like, if we get really incredibly good at what we're doing and we get more and more people on, how much can we afford? Because at some point, you know, the county's very generous with levy now, so that's the other parameter. But the one thing I will say about this position is Sue was in as, she was grandfathered in. She's been here many, many years. So she was grandfathered in for benefits, where this new position will be a non-benefit position. So it will eliminate some funds there. I mean, we will actually save money with a new position. And usually I do try to, you know, I do, when I know I'm going to have a vacancy, try to look at the parameters. I mean, I have not filled a lot of positions since I've come here that I thought were not needed to fill.
Do we have a job description for this position?
We do.
And so on?
We do. And I can pull that up for you if you would like. But at this time, I think we probably do need to fill it, and then as we do the planning, we can look at some of the areas. Because I really do think we're going to have to, not only are we going to have to look at the areas, but we're going to have to look at what restaurants might be viable to do it, because not everybody is
right.
Going to be.
And then that's even before we get, you know, and I have talked to some restaurants, and I've had one of them say, not in my kitchen, I'm not going to have somebody putzing around.
And it's, in reading the voucher, you know, what they have targeted, which is right now still a pilot, I mean, they're wanting, like, our nutritionist, which is Tracy Ackerman from Grant Regional, I mean, they're wanting her to make inspections, and I'm like, the health department makes inspections. I don't feel comfortable, you know, I don't really have a good comfort level telling, you know, double K's that, hey, we're going to have somebody here to inspect your kitchen today.
Joe, the thought might be that the restaurant owner would be the meal site manager.
Yeah.
It's the only way that it would work.
Yeah.
And then they get some revenue.
Right. And right now, the state is not comfortable with that. That is not
there.
Restaurant have to have facilities to have two menus.
I think what happens.
It's a space.
There are some counties. I think there's one. I think it's Jackson that they only have like four different meal sites, but they are all in restaurants. And typically, what they do is they have a special in the day, and that happens to also be the menu for the senior citizens.
So again, what I'm hearing you say, there are programs out there.
Oh, they're doing it. They're not doing it at a. It's not a voucher. A voucher actually implies that you might have more than one restaurant to go to, that you could use this here or here if you had a couple restaurants that were...
So there are...
What they have is a meal site manager at their restaurant. Mm-hmm. People come in, same as in the meal site right now, and they get their donation to that meal site manager. It's separate from the restaurant entirely. But then based on the number of participants there, the restaurant is then paid by the ADRC or...
And there are I guess, menu restrictions.
You have to meet. You have to meet a third of the daily nutritional needs, and it has to be our menus all have to be approved by a nutritionist. So Tracy Ackerman from Grant Regional actually sits on all of our menu development.
Size would be considerably less, and the restaurants I'm familiar with.
Exactly, and that's where I think the trade off is where they can make, you know, they can do it for a little bit less because the portion sizes are much different.
Yeah.
So then the. Trying to understand the site manager that's there, is they're just for the administrative part of all of it, or to collect donations and be separate, or
they're there for the administration part of it. They're there for the food serving and food safety part of it. They're there for getting the meals out to the home delivered, so they're actually portioning out those meals. Typically, all of our sites have several volunteers, so they oversee the volunteers for the serving, the cleanup, the home delivery driving.
So it's more of a facility share type deal rather than a provided by the owner type service.
Right.
Well, in the case of the new one you're opening up in Platteville now, did you have to move the kitchen facilities, or does the state, or how did you handle it?
They moved over. They haven't moved entirely.
Yes.
Our senior appliances. We will most likely have to have it looked at. I don't think it's required, but typically I think we would have somebody come in, and Head Start we usually did have somebody just take a look at it. But usually the local building inspector can come and take a look at it and fill out to make sure that it's okay. We're not actually serving. It's a little bit different because we're not actually preparing food on site. We're only serving it out of there,
okay.
Which Head Start does right now too. So basically what we're doing is holding the food, keeping it hot. But we do have to temp it. We do have to keep it at certain temperatures and then serving it. So, but there's a little difference in between, inspections for food preparation versus just serving it out of there. So,
depending on how it worked, I mean, I've been at restaurants where they have, the healthy choices and all that kind of stuff. And if they wanted to be part of the voucher program and just pull some of the menu that's existing and put that on their existing menu and say healthy choice and a V for voucher or whatever on the menu, they wouldn't even have to separate it.
I would like to see, one of my thoughts, and I think, obviously we need to hear from people before we do these things too. You have to have some public hearings and things. But, one of my thoughts is, if a restaurant has a salad bar, there's some people that like a salad for lunch or soup and salad or something like that where they could just go and get that.
Yeah.
And it might even be, in a town the size of Platteville or something, they might want to eat at the dining site 3 days a week.
Yeah.
But one day they might want to have a salad bar.
Yeah.
A lot of our older generation people are not big on the salad bars because that just wasn't where they came from. But they're used to that noon meal. But our baby boomers tend to be the salad bar eaters. So I think as we have all these, right now we've got a very wide span of, from your 60s to your 90s. And they've grown up very differently, so it's very different. Our people in their late 80s and 90s, they like their meat and potatoes and vegetable. That's what they want. And if it's got gravy on it, all the better. It's really true.
And a dinner roll.
That's right.
Well, I notice you've got vacancies as plural.
Yes, I
so
do. So the meal
one.
Site one is the first one.
Okay.
Should
we have a motion? Go and entertain that before we go to the next one. Someone like to make a motion to approve hiring of that wheel site in Fenimore? Vicki makes a motion.
Dave
seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Can we get a copy of the job description?
Sure.
I'm just looking to see how they're written.
The other one, which I was a little hesitant, and that's why I wrote it down as position vacancies as our bus driver. So it's a little difficult for me today to, we have, because of his illness, we have been without a bus driver since about 4th of July. We've been trying to make, we've literally not had bus service for the most part. We have been telling participants, if they're in dire need of, getting groceries and they've relied on the bus for that, to call us, and we try to get a trips driver out there to do, a volunteer driver to do it, and we've only been charging them for the bus fee, because obviously a volunteer driver, we cost a little more, and we have had some using that, but they are really wanting the bus service back. So I do think, we need to
make a motion to fill that position.
Do
I have a motion for that?
I'll make a motion.
They made a motion.
I'll second it.
Greg second.
What's the requirement for a bus driver? Does that have CDL?
I actually put in for sub bus drivers, CDL preferred but not required, because we do have one smaller bus, because we're not attracting CDL drivers. I'm hoping for this one that we do get somebody with a CDL, and I'm hoping since it's a little more hours that we will, because we still have buses that require CDL. Our bigger buses do. In the future, if we apply for grants for buses, we will apply for smaller, more of the van-like buses that do not require CDL. We just, it's just, if you talk to any of the surrounding school districts, counties, whatever, they can't locate them. So.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about timing. Do you have to do an extensive background check as well?
We do.
I think so. Yeah.
We do, actually, with most of our non-tos, we do a criminal background check.
It doesn't take too long.
You know, it's a long little, no, it doesn't take. We could potentially hire somebody without a CDL and then train them. That's what I usually ended up having to do in my previous job, was we would hire somebody, and then there are a few places. Richland Center used to have a guy who used to train CDL to take the test.
I saw an ad in the paper just this past week. You must acquire one within a certain period of time.
And this position is really even more, you know, I think it really depends on a certain person, because they've got to be good with elderly, and they're not just sitting in a bus seat. They're literally getting out, walking somebody up to the door with groceries and things like that. It takes.
And if we train them, do we require them to stay for a certain period of time?
No, we can't do that. I wish we could.
That's known as slavery.
With that, that being said, when I first came here, we had a full-time bus driver, and we had essentially a part-time bus driver. Diana, our part-time bus driver, wanted to reduce her hours, and she is essentially now kind of a sub. It kind of ebbs and flows when she's done, but she's not. She doesn't do close to even half time. So we've never refilled that position, because I just felt that it wasn't needed. We were getting by, and as this position comes in, we're going to relook at routes and the way we've been doing things, and try to come up with, I think, something that's a little more efficient. And we've been providing some pretty long routes, but there again, you know, we have bus riders and things that. So I just think it's a good time to relook at that whole program and see where we can make some additions.
So in front of us we have. Dave made the motion for a bus driver, and Greg seconded. We have had some more discussion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
Thank you.
Passed. Okay. All right, we're back to strategic planning.
Okay. So I'm going to go through it fairly lightly. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Obviously, the first part is just going to be kickoff. In order to hold that meeting, we're going to identify various stakeholders from different parts of the program to make sure that we're getting as holistic of an input as we can. Usually folks who are looking to make changes and have creative ideas as well, that are known as leaders in their areas, if they can be.
And rebel rousers.
especially rebel rousers. Then we kind of start off by going through the whole program with them and looking at what the draft of a program charter might be. My apologies.
I might need to get my little. Would you like my magnet credit cards?
Well, this swap thing is.
I have a hard time.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I can see it just fine. I don't know what your problem is. So the whole thing is going up through. A vision, mission, SWOT, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, based on mission and the vision and mission, so that you have a context. So that, because the SWOT is basically a gap analysis. Okay, so you understand what you want the program to look like. You understand what you want to be doing when it looks like that, and then you go through a gap analysis and basically say, okay, what's getting in our way? What do we have to tackle? Okay. Once you've gone through that discussion, you typically have to prioritize it, depending on what the program is and who you have in the room. You could end up with 10 different threats, 15 different weaknesses, and so on. You're never going to tackle all of them, right? Or being able to identify the 5 opportunities that you could do. Maybe not take advantage of all the opportunities, but at least try to get 1 or 2 of them. But when we go through weaknesses and threats, it's almost always a huge list. So I make people pare it down to the top 10. And usually you only get to the top 3 of that, but at least you've gone through a prioritization. You understand what you're going to try to tackle this time around. Okay. Then once you have that and you understand where you sit and as far as your gap analysis, you go, you identify your high-level objectives. For this program, there are some high-level objectives that are already sitting in their state mandated, so those will obviously be incorporated in some fashion into those. And they'll be reviewed before you even get through the start the mission and vision statements, so that the context is driven in a certain direction as appropriate. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. Once you do that, then we start getting, we force the team to get more actionable. We get into detailed objectives. That can be anything from we need to sign a contract to we need a project to develop a new site or move a site or, you know, maybe identify an effort to coordinate with state to further figure out the voucher program or to go after, you know, incorporating it into restaurants. Whatever might be identified in those types of things. But the specific, if they get assigned to somebody, if we think they'll need a team, we identify who that might be. If we don't have names, we say, well, they're going to need at least a couple people to help them with whatever, and we'll put two people in there as a requirement. So then when we set them up, we understand what we're getting them into, and we go after the resources that they're going to need to be successful. Okay. The next step is to further define that, understand if they're going to need any funding for that, how long it will take them to get, maybe, say, volunteer hours. So if they're going to need two volunteers to help them accomplish working on the voucher program with the state, how much time can we expect from a volunteer, maybe 3 hours a week, we say, and they're going to probably need 30 hours, it's going to take them 10 weeks to get through the whole thing. We just kind of think through that. It's not going to be totally accurate, we're not going to be perfectionists about it, but we're going to get a better sense of what we're asking people to do, what our expectations should be. I use this process a lot when I was setting expectations for the executives that wanted me to do something yesterday. So, then once we have that, we identify what the dependencies are and create a roadmap. Now, for this program, I talked to Lori about it, and we might kind of skip to that part and combine a little bit of this so that we're just throwing stuff up on the wall and identifying our detailed objectives right away, and then they can just draw lines on paper, and we're getting it all at one shot in one session. It's similar to a lean blitz for processes, okay? I kind of
Courtney knows what a lean blitz is. She's been through the journey.
Yeah. Then you create a roadmap, you have a timeline, you understand what depends on what, and even if you don't have dependencies, nobody has unlimited resources to do everything at one time. So then you force them to prioritize what would you like to do first, and we create an artificial dependency so that people don't try to force things all at one time. And we set up expectations, and we run it. And then you follow up, and you make sure that they've had everything that they need once you've done that. We can do a finalized charter if we need a formal one. I do actually typically use this as the full-on charter, which is finishing up the roadmap, getting it all set together in one file, and then having it approved by the committee that we're on. Okay, if we want to, or if it's needed, we do a cost-benefit analysis. Typically in the business world, if you want to get something justified and get funding for it, that's what we would go through. In that situation, for say transportation, if we decided that we were going to look at being more flexible, we thought that we would either stop losing money funding for certain areas and break even, or we thought that we would actually come out ahead and be able to serve more folks, that would be the time when we would put all that information together and say, this is what we're trying to do with the whole program, and this is what it's going to do for us. And then that's the justification if we needed to, say, have it approved here by the board or with the committee or whatever, if that was required. And then you would proceed from that point on. You would define a project if needed be. You would assign a task to somebody if needed be, and then move forward. My role in it would be to facilitate. I have no knowledge of any of this. Even if I did, I would pretend I didn't.
Joe, obviously there's a file kept on that. Is it mm-hmm. all it's all done electronically, that
yes.
we would have a file.
Yep.
So
you would have updates for the whole thing.
5 years down the road, nobody has to reinvent the wheel. They could go back to, oh, wait a minute, there was something similar to this occurred in 2017, and we can go back and
pull them. Did Lori do 5 years ago?
Well, yeah, if you're listing 10 and you're only dealing with 3, you might pop up in a few years with the rest of the 7.
Right.
Well, and it's important to note that the mission statements have two versions of them, a long and a short. The long is 2+ years. The short is this year. This actually is meant to be done at a minimum every year. At maximum, maybe quarterly, just to kind of touch base and make sure that we're steering in the right direction or that nothing huge has changed. So to your comments there, ideally, you'd never stop using it. You wouldn't have to go back to it. It would constantly be a living document with iterations moving forward.
Should be that roadmap that you talked about. Mm-hmm.
So, like,
and that, and that roadmap actually changes, and the timeline changes. So I've done multiple year roadmaps for long range plans, and we basically take that timeline for that roadmap, and I just do this to it, and as we knock things off, I leave it there for history for a little while, and eventually nobody sees it anymore because it's irrelevant. We're past that. I always look forward, unless there's an issue we have to tackle and we have to go back. So as this continually evolves and we're identifying, oh, we need a project to move this to here now, we go back to this, we make sure everybody's still on the same page, we make a couple of tweaks to detailed objectives that might need to be done, we change the roadmap, and we keep on going. You know, it's a bigger effort to start it, but then it's just maintenance unless something major changes moving forward, and it just continually lives and moves.
So are you suggesting a committee before that the entire board
I think Lori suggested a committee when we talked on Friday. The committee would basically be the planning stakeholders that we would get together for the first meeting, and then that committee would kind of stay together and finish the planning and oversee it.
And would come back to the board and the
yes,
board
would come back to the board. I would need a projector because this is not going to work. I hadn't printed it out myself, but I forgot how small I could do stuff. So, and then we would kind of go through the whole thing, what we came up with, address any questions. This group would be considered another stakeholder group, and if they had input that would change the, how the any part of this was worded or additional information, you would gather that. I'm of the opinion that we gather all the information that we can from everybody for several reasons. One, I don't want to miss anything, and if it's relevant later on, even if it's not now, we want to capture it. Two, I don't want anybody to think that their input is not important because that, in my experience, kind of tarnishes my stakeholders, and then they stop speaking up, even if they have something that we really need to know about. And three, a lot of times, that information really does change how things move. It helps us understand additional resources that might be, or we don't really have to do this, it's a duplicate of something else, and we didn't realize it. So I'm constantly gathering information. This is constantly a living document. That's
so
the difference
do
between
you have
what
you
see in the past. It's
how many
living
would
document.
Like on that committee?
I would say a maximum of 6. I have gone up to 12 and suffered dearly for it. I have gone up to 7 or 8, depending on how much input we really need and the input that the group can provide. And sometimes you'll have people who, you have 2 people from certain areas, so that if one can't make it, the other one can, that kind of thing. Just to make sure that we have input and we continually make progress.
I think, I think we need county board member on it, at least one.
Oh, he looked at you. That's what happened to me with the vice chair. I got looked at, now I nominate John. No.
I think, we obviously need some citizens on it. I think we need citizens that are actually using the service, but I also think we need somebody who's not, say somebody who's like, I wouldn't go there because why would I? I think we need somebody that maybe
So how do we find these people?
Well, we're looking at...
I'm willing. I'm green. I'm green as grass, but I'd use it as a learning experience for myself.
So we got Greg for sure off the board.
Oh, I said I was willing.
That's all we needed.
And I think...
It's not a grueling process.
I think two people, as we update, people can come and go and give us their opinions. It's not like it's an exclusive little group. It's
well,
like
I have worked with the process before.
I have, too.
So I think we're going to probably need somebody off the Nutrition Council.
So you're looking at one of your meal site people, perhaps.
Yes, I think so. And I think it wouldn't hurt if we can do it to some extent to maybe get one of our meal site managers in there as well, a staff person that maybe could give a little bit different. I don't know what your feeling is on that, but
anybody who's innovative that you've seen do some pretty spectacular things with very little would probably be really great to have in the room.
So. Do we want to empower you to find these people? You and Joel?
You can.
We have a goal, or we're just implementing a process?
What's that?
Do we have a goal, or are we just implementing a process?
No, it's actually the goal. We're setting up what the goals would be.
Okay, so
the committee will actually be looking at what the mission.
That's what I kind of thought. All right.
Moving forward, so.
So, for example,
it's just too time consuming to do this.
A very mixed matched way of how I do these things, based on my experience both in process development and in strategic planning. One of the things that I've learned is that long-range planning is also a process, and it also lives and continually improves.
Oh, yeah.
So as we go through this process, one of the things that comes out of it with, say, detailed objectives would be we need to define a process.
Yeah, I understand all that. I just want to know if there was something driving it at this point, but it's not. It's just
it's
starting a process.
I think what's driving it now is there's been much discussion on our nutrition program, and it's one of the biggest programs that we run. It's a program that has a lot of levy in it. A lot of taxpayers' dollars are funneled into it. And so I think we have a responsibility to look at it and make sure not only is it meeting the needs of the county, because it's been around. This program has been around since, like, I think, 65, and it hasn't changed a lot since then. And I just think it needs to be looked at. I think it needs to be looked at by us. It needs to be looked at, like, okay, how much money are we putting into this program? How much money are we willing to put into it in the future? Because things are going to get tighter, I'm quite sure.
I hear a motion by Vicki. And our seconds. Any further discussion?
Help.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And pass. So we will look for future progress.
Do we have a timeline that we want to start this? Get them together?
Immediately, if not sooner.
No. It worked out.
You're going to have to find the people.
Yeah, I think you and I will sit down, we'll identify, and then we'll set up a meeting. I mean, I do want to get it underway fairly quickly, so.
Okay. All right. Anything more on number 11? Thank you for taking that on, Joel.
Thanks for letting me do it.
All right. We'll go to 12.
I don't have a lot of energy. I usually start stuttering and lose my focus after about an hour or so. But I love doing this.
Okay.
He's got a great background in lean and strategic planning, so it's really nice for us.
Okay, we'll go on to 12, 2018 budget.
2018 budget. Did we pass that on?
I have extra here if somebody needs it.
Okay. Does everybody have a copy?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anybody not?
Anybody not? All right. This is a quick, this is about my 40. Duration of it, but The problem is it's going to be due to finance and the exec committee in September, and we don't meet before them. So we do need to get something out. The problem with it is we don't have the health insurance rates yet established, but Nancy did give us some parameters to use. Also, there's a wage comparability that's being implemented or being done by the county. It hasn't been implemented, and we don't know how that's going to be implemented, so I don't know how that's going to impact us as well. So that being said, you're proving that it moves forward, but, you know, there could be changes. You know, Nancy is pretty good about forecasting, and what she did was tell us to forecast about a 2.8% for the wage comparability, which really wouldn't maybe affect everybody and might be a little, that's what we did, and then about a 10% for health insurance. We have had some changes, and we've tightened up. I tried to tighten up the areas we could, so we're actually, and I've also included some carryover because we've had some carryover in the past, I think we can afford to put some of that in as well. So we're actually $35,000 under our net cost from last year, our budget from last year, so which is good because as a whole in the county, I think we were down to about $81,000 shortfall at the last department head meeting, but after yesterday's meeting, I think that's back up to $121,000. So,
have you been asked to cut the budget?
We're always asked to. There's always a shortfall, and we're always asked to. So, yes.
With all departments doing their part.
I actually had this as a $40,000 net cost yesterday, but at the County Board of Supervisors, they increased their per diem amounts again. They had decreased them from 45 to 45, and they increased them to 90. So that increased in my budget, so it's back to a $35,000. But
so it's at 90 yet?
It's,
you never even got the 45. They rescinded the.
Yeah.
They rescinded my motion from last November.
That's for this board?
Well, it's for everybody.
So it was to start in at 18.
I think I started. When I started, it was 45. And then when the board was decreased.
Well, and they kept the pot of money the same. Instead of dividing it by 31, they divided it by 17. They gave themselves a huge. Double, or at least double raise. Yeah. And again, comparatively, again, Iowa County, Lafayette. Lafayette's at 25, Crawford's at 30, Richland's at 40, Iowa's at 35.
We're at 90.
Even the regional is
at 90. It's a damn shame.
Regional's at 40.
40 or
45?
40.
Yeah.
It's.
That's green, because that's Green County's pretty.
I guess you don't want to get me started.
So
it never even got off.
It never even, happened.
Okay, how does that work then?
For here?
Yeah. Who approves that and how does it get done? I thought if the board recommended it, why don't we approve it?
It's approved at the county board. The county board did approve it in
November 16th.
To
never got there.
90. They rescinded that motion yesterday. And
the county board?
The county board.
Their board, okay.
Yes, yeah, the whole county
the
board.
The actual county
the whole,
administration.
Yes.
October, November last year, as the department heads were going through and making the reductions in their budgets and showing great leadership and doing the right things and making the tough cuts, et cetera, et cetera. Every department did that, and the employees lost benefits, healthcare benefits, increasing copays, so they were taking a hit. And there was only one group of people that were not partaking in the efforts to be cost conscious and doing the right things for the right reasons. And that was the County Board of Supervisors. So I made a motion to reduce it from 90 to 45, if nothing else, to show leadership that, you know, we're all in this together and we're here to feel the pain that you folks are feeling and going through and et cetera, et cetera. And so it passed. And then it got rescinded and it's back to 90. So evidently the pain didn't last too long.
So decrease would have taken place January 1st.
April. Yeah, 18, April. It would have been into effect, so it never even got there.
So
we're back at 90, and that was pretty much all I needed to say. See ya.
So our budget was affected by about $5,000.
What it amounted to is, even if you want to think of it on a grander scale, it would have been like a free squad car every year, whatever, you know, what the Sheriff's Department would need for a squad car. It's $55,000, I think, would have been the entire
savings. Well, the state, don't they have an average mileage rate for
that? Yeah, that's, Arnold, then we get mileage on top of that to the state rate of 53.5 cents a mile.
See, and if you have a meeting in the morning and a meeting in the afternoon, they get 90 for each.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it's 2 hours, there's some stupid rules. I don't follow them, don't understand them, I think it's stupid, but you go back home and then you come back and, you know, you're banging the cash register twice that day for mileage and per diems. Yeah. And it's about... Like I said, I really probably said too much already.
Like our state people live outside, Mount Forb, and they drive back home, and they end up staying in Madison when they could drive back home.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same conniving thievery or whatever else you want to say. I probably need to shut up about.
But it's true.
Yeah, rabble.
I was glad you opened up.
Yeah. He's a rabble.
We need to know that. That's ridiculous.
Okay, so you're asking for us to...
So, revenue right now, we have not gotten our allocations for our aging programs. I don't know what those are going to be. I don't expect to be a significant amount taken away. However, there was a presidential budget that had 18% cut to domestic programs that I have no idea what will happen with. So, we have allocated the same amounts for last year for most of our aging programs, which is nutrition benefit specialist, elder benefit specialist, family caregiver, and those. Transportation, they all look to be about the same. ADRC will be flat funded as well. One of the things, as I said, Nancy and I have been talking for a couple of years that most of the other counties in our regional ADRC, excuse me, do a cost allocation among their programs. And so they have had higher admin costs coming out of their grants, and we have not. And first of all, that was just a mystery to me when I came here, because how are we paying for these services, for finance and personnel and all this? I was just stunned by this. But anyway, there is a cost allocation plan, and so Nancy and I did discuss it this year, and we have put it into this budget. So if you look on some of these budgets, you'll see an admin line with a amount in it, except for public awareness, because that's kind of pieced together by several programs. But so under service management, you're going to see an admin line for 2866. These are services that are allocated for finance, for personnel, for just some of the different county services that we utilize. And it's allocated on a employee.
There's no income FTE that basis. Comes from that, but you pay out.
We're going to pay out, right. Nancy can probably explain this better. So in some cases, this allocation plan will go out, and if grants are available to pay for that, we will have that money put back into it. So it's a good way of getting revenue back in here as well. However, there are some that probably aren't going to have the funding. The levy is so much more than the funding that the allocation will kind of be just a wash.
Well, my question, if as the budget comes out, if medical assistance and Social Security and some of those things start getting cut, do you anticipate you're going to see more people here?
Yeah, and we're going to have less revenue.
And we're going to have less revenue.
Yeah. Yeah, because if our ADRC program is, we budget 41% of Medicaid reimbursement for that program. So that's a fair amount of funding.
Even if that comes in the budget, that's not going to be for the next 2 years,
right? It'll
be a whole year.
We're not going to have anything
that will impact this.
Not right now. No, not for this. No. All right. So if you see under carryover funds, you're going to see that I did put in general carryover of $53,261. Part of that is as I'm trying to delve through this budget process, I realized I had over-budgeted a few items that I thought people were getting benefits for that they weren't, so that was my mistake. So I know that we are not going to use all our carryover from last year, probably not very much of it at all, because we've had some turnover that has decreased it. So I felt like we could put in carryover. And in the county services, so what we've done, it looks kind of weird here, but it's how Nancy told me to do it. So the cost allocation for the county services is $82,065. So we've put that in and then kind of taken it back out. However, she'll probably be able to explain that process better, but it'll still give us the ability to retain some money of those grants that we can do that with. So ADRC being one of them, and probably some transportation as well.
This is where you don't want to leave money.
Don't want to leave money on the table, right. But you don't want to just, you know, you don't want to waste. Most of our programs, with the exception of ADRC, do have tax levy in them. The ADRC one does not. The county puts no money into that. So obviously we want to be efficient there, but with the other programs we want to be especially efficient because taxpayer money is going into it. So we want to have it as good as tight as we can get it, and as much revenue as we can get. So.
Any further questions?
So I think the cost allocation is a good thing. Also.
So then, for planning for meals, we will be looking at the budget
the
budget that the program would be able to utilize.
Yeah, well, it'll mostly come out of probably nutrition and maybe some service management. So service management is a Older Americans Act program that kind of encompasses. It encompasses the administrative portion of it too, and I have decreased that fairly significantly. So I think we'll be okay with it. I think
I'm just wondering if that's the numbers that we use for it. When we start planning things out, when we get to the detailed estimates, we can make sure we're within those numbers.
Yeah. So any questions on any of them? Like I said, we have saved some wages in nutrition. We will have this year. We will also save some wages in the bus program because the newer entry-level people won't have the higher salaries. The other thing that I am looking at that I'm hoping to do is a transportation cost analysis. The state kind of developed one, and I haven't had much of a chance yet, but we are going to look at that. Because we are family care, IRIS are using our transportation services, we want to make sure that we are that they are paying full cost for those and the true cost for those. So one of the things that when I had came here 4 years ago, that really wasn't being done or was maybe done at a different had a different perspective on it, was making sure that costs are shared amongst the programs. So your admin costs of your postage and your phones and your rent and your and the admin costs, because I have my hands in every program. I mean, I have to oversee it. So not all programs were being charged out, say, for me or for, you know, for Courtney, who also has her hands in a lot of programs. They weren't being charged out. So we've been trying to fine-tune every year how to get that so it is. Yesterday was the phone bill. 4 years in, I'm still looking at her phone bill going, what in the heck? I mean, we have, what do we have, like 18 different phone bills or phone lines and all that. So, yeah. And there again, we found that we could be more efficient there if we do something different. So we are really trying to narrow this down and get it right. Nancy,
and the Fed is great pay for mileage. That's $49.53. Where are we at? Is it 53? And since gas has come down, that's never been really cut for anybody, has it?
They mm-hmm. review it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was up. What was it up? It was 55 and a half.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, the Feds review it every year. And typically, when gas is high, they don't raise it.
I know.
That's been my is when gas is high, they take a long time to raise it, but when gas is low, they shrink it back pretty fast. So, so we really are. So it's still a work in progress 4 years later for me, and there are still things that I'm frustrated, but I think we're working closer and closer to getting this where I'd like it to be. And Nancy told me yesterday I couldn't leave until I had it figured out. So I'm really committed to getting it pared down.
So you need to vote on that, right?
I would like to, yeah, we'd like to send it to executive committee. Again, knowing, you know, that health insurance changes could come and the wage comparability, but I will update you as that happens. So.
All right. Do I hear a motion to pass the budget as in front of us with maybe upcoming changes?
I'll move to approve the budget.
All right, Greg.
I'll second it.
And Dave, any further discussion?
And just so you know the process, and this will go to executive committee for review, and then the full budget will go to the county board.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No? Passed. All right, approval of vouchers, number 15, right?
Yes, I don't think we have anything unusual to report. Yeah, I spent more time on budgets than I have on vouchers. Instead of looking up 2016 accounts.
Did we do the credit card? Did I miss that?
We did get it.
Okay.
Yes.
It was Dan and Vicki.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
1 million each.
No, I think everything is pretty normal with the vouchers.
I don't think we've had any significant repairs, although the taxi was just in the repair shop this week. So I've told Johnny he has to hold it together. So we've got a grant for a new taxi. We just don't have it. So
I guess in the future, I had there the AP. There's a new report that they're trying to get all of the committees. So when you change, if you do change from committee to committee, it's the same AP expense report. So instead of doing the list of checks, I think I'm going to start doing that so that it's uniform. So all the committees will be receiving the same report.
And it's not
department.
Really good.
It shows the same information. I think it just gives a little bit more description.
That'd be good. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Just so you know for the future.
So again, for newer members, our bigger expenses like $63.95 for Grant Regional, those are food, those are purchased meals. So usually those are our more hefty expenses in this budget. So,
any questions that anybody has? If not, I need a motion to approve the vouchers.
I make a motion.
Vicki makes a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Dan seconds. Any further discussion?
Was it
Arnold? Oh, Arnold. I didn't look up. I was doing
right.
My voice recognition.
Well, that's broke.
We'll bring that up again. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passed. Financial report.
It's like we're good. It's if you look at the revenue, we look like we've got a lot uncollected. But GWAR is typically really behind other payments. So, and we typically we run behind with family care payments by a month or two as well. So I think we're sitting okay. It took GWAR about for October payments. When did they pay us last year?
In spring, it was...
Yeah, it was quite late.
I mean,
but we did get reimbursed for it. But it was... And hopefully they've got that figured out. As far as the rest of them, I think we're pretty much on track. I don't think we've got anything that isn't... the one thing that I am looking at doing is in our transportation programs, I think we are going to have a little money possibly freed up in there, and we could use a computer. So I might ask for that towards the end of the year if we can get one out of there. I just assume do it while we've got money versus not have money.
Does the county have a thing in which they, I guess you have to do it yourself, but we even within our ADRC that you rotate and buy new ones ever so often?
They have a recommended schedule. The county has a process that is, I think, unusual, but it's not one that I do. So my process for it is to look at when we have grant monies available and try to get any of our equipment needs out of there. Because that's how I've done it.
Okay.
How is the IT been?
What's that?
How is the computer availability and operations been?
We haven't had any problems with it, actually. Our computer network has been good.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we've had any issues. So we were having a lot of issues with...
I just know that sometimes some of the places that have a lot of computers, like every year they'll replace one.
And typically what I have done since I've been here is every year about this time I ask Jeff or Dan or IT people and say, what computers do you think need to be replaced? So this year they've identified, we did really well with ADRC because they were all purchased at the same time. So I got those last year because I budgeted for it.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they had transportation and one ADRC one. I have one ADRC one budgeted. I didn't think about the transportation one, but I think we'll have funding and we can move that a little bit. So if we've got it, I'm hoping that you'll approve it. That's how I do it. There is a different process in the county where they go to public property and IT, many of the agents say they need so many computers and it's approved through there.
Mm-hmm.
I have not utilized that process. I have tried to get it out of here.
It's worked so far.
So far, we've got the computers and they're working. and they're up to date. Who'd have thought? And they're up to date. So, that's all I'll say on that.
All right. Do I hear a motion for the financial report?
I'll make a motion.
Dave, any motion? Do I hear a second?
No, second.
Greg? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Passed. Reports from the director.
A lot of it we've kind of touched on. So the Senior Center in Platteville will be moving. A temporary dining site is going to be up a couple days at First English Lutheran Church. I think, did I say that right? Is it First English?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I said that, it sounded wrong. I think the 14th and the 15th is the designated days now because they have to move the dishwasher and they have to move some of the kitchen equipment. So the church is letting us have that site in order to get the food out. We do have Elderfest coming up. It's October 27th. Mark your calendars. It's a fabulous event. We get over 300 people there. So if anybody's interested in volunteering for that, we'll take you on.
That's October
27th? Yeah, it's on a Friday. And it is at the Youth and Aid building. And we'll get a flyer out to you for the next one. I met with Joe to discuss strategic planning. So we've done good there. The regional board we've discussed. Obviously, I've been working on the budget. Let's see.
What time does Elderfest start?
It starts at 9. It'll be 9 to 12:30. We do have an intern coming from Madison College starting in August. That will be here 2 days a week for all year. So she's going to work out with our nutrition program, which is going to be excellent because we can have her out doing some of the home-delivered assessments that we always get behind doing because there's so many of them anymore, and Ruth is only one person. So we're going to have her working on that, so we're very excited about that. And as you've seen, we have a big hole out front, bigger hole than it was intended to be, I think, but it's very big.
Why do you think it's bigger?
Because the soil... Yeah, wasn't very good, and they had to dig deeper than they intended.
We got ran into a lot of clay. So
yeah.
How did they do with what was buried over here, or haven't they gotten to that yet?
There hasn't been.
Seen any of that.
I don't think they've got to it, but I don't think they have concerns either.
So I was told there's nothing buried over there.
Don't
bring that up.
Is there a place we can go to look at what they're actually?
Yes, and on the bulletin board out front, if you come in our main entrance, we have a bulletin board, and Sarah just redid it. And
I was going to say, there's nothing on it.
There's two blank bulletin boards, and then there's a directory board right to the front. And she's got the plans and what the building looks like on there. So we put that on. Yes, and we did take everything off of the bulletin boards. That's a Lean project. Mariah has been participating in Lean and needed a project, and I said, I got a project for you. Because that front entryway has driven me crazy since the day I've been here. So they are taking everything off and figuring out what has to be back on, and, you know, hopefully we're going to make do. I have found things to be much more intolerable since I know there's a new building, so I'm like a last-ditch effort to clean everything up here before we're done. You know, it's kind of like, well, now that, you know, I don't know why, but yeah.
Looks really nice, let's tear it down.
So yeah, those are the main things. I mean, we're working on end-of-year data. The aging programs, all the data has to be in by October, so there's a... This time of year is extremely busy.
Well, I just looked at for planning that.
What's that? Yeah.
For time to add planning.
We'll just
make it all even
add bigger. Another thing in there. That's all.
How did the staff attending the compassion fatigue training?
How did they do? Good. Yeah. I mean, it was Mark Rubel did that, it was very good. Mark does a really nice job, and we. You know, we're working on a lot more staff training, too, and program quality improvement on that customer service thing. But staff have to realize, too, you get pretty burnt out dealing with people sometimes. So you also have to be watching yourself and making sure that you're taking care of yourself as well. So
I'm sure some of the situations that come in are not real good.
They're not pretty.
No.
No, some of them really aren't. They're not pretty.
Anything else on your director's report?
Village of Muscadet, remember a long, long time ago when the Village of Muscadet wanted us to move? And there was some discussion, and I think the board actually did approve some funding for that. Then they put the project on hold because I think the library project took a little bit longer, and I hadn't heard from them. So I've heard from them again, and they're trying to move ahead with that. So... we had approved some funding of that. I think we can do it relatively easy, so we will be moving. We don't really have a choice. If we want to stay in the building, they want us to move. So we may have to have a few one-time moving expenses, which I think will also possibly happen for Platteville. But I think we're okay because, as I said, I charged some benefits for this year for nutrition people that didn't get those benefits, so I think I'm good. So I have freed up some money for that, unintentionally, but I did. So we'll be okay. But yeah, we need to do that. So. And I think that's about it. It's been incredibly busy. We've had busy contacts and overall busyness.
Any questions to come to?
I had a question on Platteville. Do you rent that space? How do they handle
it? We have not, actually. They have generously given us that space, and we just work hand in hand.
Through the school?
With the school, the senior center is renting it. And what we're doing is number one, it's kind of, we feed each other. So we get people there for the meal site, which also benefits the senior center. And we are providing some transportation to the senior center and meal site, so through our transportation program. So it's kind of a win-win. So right now, other than we pay for a phone system, well, I guess the phone is through us now. We changed that. So we have not paid any rent there, which is kind of unusual. So, but yeah. So, and we haven't been asked to yet, so stay tuned. But actually, the senior center's rent is going down. And moving to OE Gray, they're actually seeing less expenses than they were being charged by the city.
Do you have any idea what's going on with that building? Or nobody's saying?
No, I haven't heard.
No, I haven't heard anything.
That's ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned.
I'm guessing they're...
They let them go off. Yeah. That was centrally located right above them.
I haven't heard any friends of mine over there. I haven't heard anybody who was really in favor of that.
No, because there's no... You know, they have parking there where it is now, and they don't have any of that for the new places.
I was just going to say that.
Sorry.
I was looking for that paper that you have right there. I couldn't find it.
Nutrition, did you?
Yep, that's in there.
So,
I'm sorry.
All right, anything else to come before us?
One of these days, with some new people on here, too, I think at one of the meetings where we have a less longer agenda, we'll have Courtney explain the nutrition report a little bit, too, because that's a lot of numbers that don't mean a lot to anybody if you aren't familiar with them. So.
Very good. Well, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. And we'll see you on September 20th. Thank you very much.
Well, you come to the fair. We're
gonna be at the I will be there in the woodworking. I'll be at the woodworking. I hear the projects are up in almost all areas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You'll be in the Euphonet building.
Yeah, I'll be in the Euphonet building.
I'll be tucked away in the kitchen under the
We got a couple phone calls about providing transportation to the fair, and I'm like, no, we don't generally provide transportation to the fair. Like, well, it's in the paper.
Last night's event went well.
What?
Moderately well attended, anyway.